again for this day. We thank you, Father, that we have the privilege to come out over the airwaves this morning. We thank you, Father, for your love and your kindness to each one of us. Father, we pray that you would just bless the program this morning. Pray, Father, that your spirit would just guide and direct. And we just commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Morning, and thank you for tuning us in today. You are listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, Tom and Jerry and Detweiler are coming. They're going to be singing "Breathe on Me, Breath of Life."
Shall I never die, but following story has been told numerous times over the years, and some of the details have changed, whether it's fact, fiction, or fiction based on certain historical facts, we do not know. However, the message is clear. God answers prayer. The Unbreakable Flask. 3 periods before the Thanksgiving holiday, our chemistry professor always planned to lecture against prayer. He was so sarcastic and he so ridiculed prayer that he used to have the students in stitches. He would step in front of his lecture table. There was a concrete floor in the classroom. He would turn around and pick up a 2-quart glass flask and hold it up. Then he would say, "Now, if there's anybody here who believes in prayer, if you will stand, I'm going to ask you to pray that when I drop this flask, it won't break. Now, I want you to know, students, that all of your prayers and the prayers of your parents and those of your Sunday school teachers and those of your pastors, all their prayers, nothing can keep that flask from breaking when I let it go." He had been doing this for 15 years. Talk about a Goliath. When I was a senior, there came a certain freshman to the school. The new student said to the fellows that told him about Dr. Lee, "Is there anybody in this school who believes in prayer?" They said, "Well, we think there's one fellow who still believes in prayer. He lives down here on North Main Street." One day there was a knock at my door. I opened it, and there stood this freshman. He said, "Are you Dick Harvey?" "Yes," I said. "Do you believe in prayer?" he asked me. "Yes," I answered. "Well, some of the upperclassmen told me that you were the only fellow in this entire school who believes in prayer. Can I come in?" "Certainly," I said. He continued, "I want you to understand that I'm a born-again Christian. I'm majoring in chemistry, which is perhaps a foolish thing for me to do since I know what Dr. Lee does to his students each year. But God has shown me that he wants me to stand up to the doctor. Now, will you please pray that God will give me courage when the time comes? And will you also pray that the flask won't break? I want the courage to stand up to him." "All right," I said, "I will pray with you." Then he said, "God has given me the promise that if two shall be agreed about anything they shall ask, it shall, not maybe, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." I was downstairs in the lab when the lecture hour came. About the time I knew Dr. Lee would defy prayer, I went upstairs and stood in the back of the auditorium. My heart was full of fear. I was actually shaking for this young freshman. Finally, the professor came to the moment. Out in front, he stepped, and he said, "Now, is there anyone here who still believes in prayer?" The young freshman was sitting near the middle of the big auditorium. There were about 300 students in the class. It was the largest single class in the college. He stood up immediately and stepped into the aisle. "Dr. Lee," he said respectfully, "I do believe in prayer." "My," said Dr. Lee, "this is very interesting, isn't it? We've got a fellow here who believes that God can answer prayer." He turned to my friend and said very sarcastically, "Do you believe that God will answer your prayer?" The young fellow replied, "Yes, Dr. Lee, I'm sure that God will answer my prayer." "Well," the professor said, "this is most interesting, isn't it? Maybe I'd better again explain to you what I'm going to do." He went through the whole procedure, how he would hold up the flask, open his hand, and let the flask drop. It would go into hundreds of pieces, he said, and there wasn't any power in the world or heaven that would stop that flask from breaking when it hit the concrete floor. After he finished his speech, he turned to the young man and asked, "Do you still want to pray?" The young man answered, "Yes, Dr. Lee, I do." "Well," he said, "isn't that interesting? Now let's all be real reverent while this young man prays." He was so sarcastic. And then he once more said to the young freshman, "Are you ready?" "Dr. Lee," replied the freshman, "I've been ready for a long time." "All right," said Dr. Lee, "you go ahead and pray while we all bow our heads." But the young freshman did not even bow his head. He lifted his eyes toward heaven and said, "Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have heard me. For your honor, in Christ's name's sake, in the honor of your servant who puts his total trust in you, don't let this flask break. In Jesus' name, amen." Dr. Lee took the flask, held it out, and opened his hand. And as it fell, God changed the flask's course. He drew it in. Instead of falling straight down, the flask hit the toe of Dr. Lee's shoe and rolled over and did not break. The class gave Dr. Lee a big chuckle, and in all the rest of the time he was there, he never again lectured on prayer. God, by his mighty power, ended that once and for all.
Billy Graham said one time, heaven is full of answers to prayers to which no one has ever bothered to ask. So we do need to spend time in prayer. We do need to ask God. If we're going to receive, we must first ask. We want to say thank you once again for tuning us in today. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over WSKE 104.3 FM. At this time, Tom and Joanne are coming once again. They're going to be singing, I Found the Answer.
I was weak and weary, I had gone astray, walking in the darkness, I couldn't find my way. Then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, and I was free from care. I found the answer, sad and lonely. All my hopes were gone. Days were long and dreary. I couldn't carry on. Then I found the courage to keep my head up high. Once again I'm happy, and here's the reason why. I found the answer, to pray with faith to guide me. I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer. I learned to pray. Keep your Bible with you, read it every day. Count your blessings and always stop to pray. Learn to keep believing and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment and it will come to you. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer, I learned to pray.
Just before the pastor's wife is going to be giving the children's story, the group is going to be singing The Beautiful Garden of Prayer.
Oh, garden.
Midnight Prayers. Olivia had yet another night of tossing and turning. She did not know what her problem was. She was busy all day. She regularly exercised. She did all the things that people suggested for getting a good night's sleep, but it was all for nothing. Sleep had eluded her for a few weeks now. Olivia never slept for more than a couple of hours in a row. Every morning she got out of bed exhausted, with a schedule that required a good night's rest. As she slogged through each day, she managed to get the absolute essentials done, but there was a lot that she neglected for lack of energy. At lunch one day, her friend Heather noticed Olivia was acting a little strange. "Are you okay?" she wanted to know. Olivia smiled at her friend. "I'm all right. I'm just tired. I haven't been sleeping well lately, and I guess it's starting to catch up with me." "Have you changed something in your routine?" "No, I don't know what's wrong. I'm thinking about going to the doctor to see if there's something he can help me with." Heather seemed to be deep in thought. "What are you thinking?" Olivia asked. "I went through something like that a few years ago. When I talked to my mother about it, she had also gone through the same thing. In fact, it happened to her on a regular basis." "What was the problem? Or more to the point, the solution?" "Prayer. Mom told me to try prayer when I can't sleep." Olivia wanted more. "Well, did it work?" Heather nodded her head. "Yes." "Interesting. My mom said that with a house full of kids during the day, it was always hard for her to find time to spend in prayer. Lack of prayer led to spending her nights worrying about things. Finally, she sensed God might be keeping her awake to prod her into spending some time with Him." Olivia thought for a moment. "Do you think God is waking me and I've been ignoring Him?" Heather shrugged her shoulders. "Maybe you've been keeping yourself awake with excess worrying. But God could be using it to get your attention. Try spending some time in prayer before you get in bed." "I guess it's worth a try. Now that I think about it, my prayer life hasn't been what it should be. I'm so busy with work and other activities that I have pushed prayer time with God to the side. I still pray, but not like I used to." "I hope it helps," Heather said. That night, when Olivia went to bed, she made a point of spending some serious time in prayer. However, she still woke up in the middle of the night, unable to fall back to sleep. She began praying again. She prayed for everyone and everything she could think of, and still there was no relief in the form of sleep. "God, I don't know why I can't sleep, but you know I need it. Please, if there is someone specific who needs my prayers right now, reveal that person to me." Olivia just lay still in the quiet and the dark, waiting to hear the still, small voice of God. The name Jane came to her so suddenly it was a shock. She had not thought of Jane in a very long time. Jane had been Olivia's very first best friend. They had stuck together like glue throughout elementary school until Jane's father was transferred on his job to a faraway town. While they still got together over school breaks occasionally, they had eventually lost touch and had not had any contact in years. "Lord, I don't know what is going on in Jane's life right now, but you are omnipotent. Please be with her, comfort her, assure her of your presence. Give her whatever it is she needs." Olivia continued praying for another moment, but the next thing she knew, it was morning. She looked at the clock to see that she had slept for 4 hours in a row. It felt great. She gave thanks before she even threw back the covers. "Lord, I thank you for the precious hours of sleep. Please be sure to wake me anytime one of my brothers or sisters in Christ needs my prayers." Olivia walked through the rest of the day, completing more than she had in a month. At lunchtime, she shared with Heather what had happened. When she was finished telling her story, she added, "It was probably the most meaningful prayer time I've had in quite some time. Thanks for speaking candidly with me about it and not being afraid to share what you and your mother have learned. I know I'll be more in tune from now on when God gives me a little nudge towards prayer, even in the middle of the night." "Glad I could be of help," Heather smiled. By the time evening rolled around, Olivia was tired, but not like she had been. She also felt good about what she had accomplished. She even had the energy to do one more thing, grocery shopping. It would not take long since she only had to shop for herself. She was rounding the end of one aisle and entering the next when her cart ran headlong into another cart. At first, Olivia was extremely embarrassed. "I am so sorry," she started saying, but then she stopped when she made eye contact with the woman behind the other cart. "No." "Olivia," the woman said. "Jane." The two women were overjoyed to see each other. They hugged right in the middle of aisle six. "What have you been up to?" Jane wanted to know. "Just working and paying the bills," Olivia answered. "How about you? I thought of you just last night." Jane looked down, not smiling. "My husband and I spent the night at the hospital here. Our son has a rare blood disease, and the doctors here are the best. We had a rough night last night. My son could not get comfortable. Actually, he was in a lot of pain. It was about 3 o'clock this morning that he finally settled and was able to sleep." Olivia stopped and thought a moment. That was about the time she was praying for Jane. She remembered, because she looked at the clock out of habit, to watch the minutes and hours tick by as she was not sleeping. "God is the one who brought you to my mind last night. I wasn't sleeping, and your name was impressed on my heart, so I prayed for you. Of course, I didn't know what the issue was. I just trusted God to give you what you needed." By this time, Jane was crying. "I could feel someone praying." All of a sudden, there was a great comfort that came over all of us in the room. That was when my son was able to fall peacefully asleep. "I know there are a lot of people praying for us, but I had no idea you were. Thanks for listening to God." "I hope to make a habit of it," Olivia said. "Maybe we can get together while you're here. I can come to the hospital and we can get a bite to eat. That way you don't have to leave your son for long." Jane smiled. "I would love that." They exchanged numbers and Olivia went home with a smile on her face. Suddenly, she was not feeling tired at all. "Thank you, Lord, for that little reunion. Thank you also for the confirmation that Jane and her family needed prayer. Please use me, Lord. I want to know when people are hurting, but I can't if I haven't heard from them. I need you to speak to my heart." From that night on, Olivia did not worry when the sleepless nights came. She listened to God's leading, and she prayed for whoever came to her mind.
Prayer is a very important part of our life as a Christian. And if God wakes us up, we need to pray for people. We'll get ready to write the Bible question down. We're going to give you that next question after we give you the answer to last week and those who had the right answer. Last week, I asked the question, what was the name of the Midianite woman killed by Phinehas? Well, according to Numbers 25:15, Cosby or Cosby, Arlene Price, Lisa Miller, Mike and Patty Feaster, Justin Mills, Ron and Dolores Boffman, Randy Miller, Rick and Tanya Valentine, April Elliott, Leslie Miller, Mark and Deb Rosentrader, Marlon and Donna Jean Lynch, Mark and Linda Householder, Tom and Joanne Detweiler, Paul and Joanne Peachy, and last week also, Rick and Tanya Valentine and Jonah Elliott all had the right answer last week. I missed their name somehow, so I apologize for that. Sometimes I look over, don't catch a name or don't write it down. So if I ever miss you, don't be afraid to tell me that I missed your name. For next week, I want you to tell me, how many people were killed by the Jews in Shushan the palace? Now, this is the time of Esther, so it gives you a hint where you're going to look. The Jews were sold into being killed by Haman, and Esther and Mordecai worked out a thing with the king that they were allowed to defend themselves. And in defending themselves in Shushan the palace, not the whole country, but in Shushan the palace, they defend themselves and they killed a number of people who were out to kill them. So I want you to tell me, how many people did the Jews kill in Shushan the palace? And also, this morning, this is the 11th of January, we're sending the program out to Mary Nicholas, whose birthday is today. And you're listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Everett Radio Station, WSKE, 104.3 on the FM dial. Come and worship with us here at Clear Creek. We're located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. In the Breezewood area, Missy Beal, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Then in the Fishertown area, the people of the Spring Hope Church invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hindman Way, Nathan Elliott, pastor of the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Then out north of Everett along Route 26, beyond Cottle's Corner, Kenny Heinisch, pastor of the Yellow Creek Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Well, we're into the new year, the second Sunday into the new year, and as we shared with you and you heard on the radio, we were emphasizing prayer. Prayer is an extremely important part of us as a Christian. The songs, the stories were about prayer. And this morning, I also want to talk to you about prayer, a message on prayer. I want to talk to you about what hinders our prayer. There are things sometimes that hinder our prayer that we don't recognize that they're being hindered. And so I want to read from Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't give up for praying. Some people give up praying too soon. And sometimes there's answers that don't come for just obvious reasons and some reasons they don't think about. So we want to share with you that this morning. Now, Jesus said we ought to pray and not faint in our praying. And he spoke on one occasion. He said, seek and ye shall find, ask and ye shall receive. Now, some people do seek and ask and they continue, but they still do not see answers to their prayer. Many people have given up praying on a regular basis. Because their prayers are not being answered. What's the use to pray? There are things that will hinder our prayers. Now, in the book of Daniel, we see that even Daniel's prayer was hindered, and he was hindered by the enemy. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. In other words, fasting and praying. And the answer did not come. 3 weeks he prayed, and the answer didn't come. It says, then this angel came and said to him, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, remember 3 weeks, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. In other words, the angel came to give him the answer. But he said, from the first day, God sent it. As soon as you start praying, God sent the answer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now that was not a physical being that stopped an angel. He says, but lo, Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. In other words, over Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. There are over each country and each town, and maybe even over each church, there are demons that are assigned to try and hinder what they can. And then when there were very powerful demons, and this powerful demon held this angel fast, held him tight, captive, so they couldn't take the answer to Daniel. And Michael came and delivered him, and of course then there's a spiritual battle going on. Well, sometimes our prayers are refused for one reason or another. In other words, we pray, and there isn't anything wrong with us. There's not any spiritual. The enemy's not holding them back. But God doesn't answer. Let me give you, for example. Moses said, I want to see your face. And God said, no one can see my face and live. So the answer was not allowed him. Paul, he asked 3 times, for the removal of the thorny flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, he did not get the answer to his prayer because that God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You have to hold on. You have to bear with this. But there are times when our prayers are hindered because of something wrong with or in us. And we want to share that with you from the scripture, what the Bible has to say. Now in James 4:3, it says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes we pray selfishly. Have you ever prayed selfishly? James says, you pray till you can consume it on your lusts. In other words, you're asking for your own self, not for the glory of God. Paul says, all you do, eat, sleep, whatever, do to the glory of God. And you see, people pray sometimes and they are serious about their prayer, but they're praying in order to consume it or so that the answer will be for their selfish motive. Let me give an example. We know God wants all people to be saved. The Bible is clear about that. A woman was praying one time. She had an unsaved husband. And she was praying that her husband would get saved. And the reason, though, she wanted her husband to be saved wasn't for the glory of God. It was so she'd have a better husband. You see, she was praying with the wrong motive. You see, well, she wanted her husband to get saved, yes, but not for the glory of God. James says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you can consume it on your own lust. In other words, she was praying, God save my husband. I want a better husband. Well, that would be the end result of him getting saved, a better husband. But that's the wrong motive for asking God to save a spouse so that they can be a better spouse to you. Also, how about a church that prays for revival? You say, oh, yes, that's exactly. We need revival. Yes, we do need revival in our land. We need revival in our churches. But if you're praying for revival in your church, just so you can increase the attendance, just so people can look and say, boy, there's something really going on down at that church, and so on like that, it's a wrong motive. I hear some of these preachers say them, they jump and holler and shout and go on and all that and make all kinds of noise. And it isn't for the glory of God. It's so people can see and hear and say, look what's going on down at that church. You see, that's for the wrong motive. That's consumment upon your lust. And so when we pray to consume it upon our own lust, we pray with the wrong motive. Our prayer is not going to be answered. We don't get our answer because we pray to consume it upon our own lust. Well, then how about open or secret sin? Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. There's sin in people's lives that keeps God from hearing their prayer. They're doing things, and you see, they don't like to consider it sin. And we're in a terrible time today where people will not recognize sin as sin. They say, well, that's not sin anymore. I mean, we have people living together without marriage, having relations together without being married. And they say, oh, nothing wrong with that. We're engaged. We're going to get married. It's still sin. It's still sin. It's fornication. The Bible is clear. No one who commits fornication is going to enter into heaven. And so sin has to be forgiven, has to be taken care of. See, people try to say, we try to change what sin is. Abortion is sin. It is murder. You can't say, well, the law says it's okay to do that. It don't matter. What man's law says is what God says that matters. Oh, homosexuality, they made it all right so they can get married now. It doesn't matter what man says. What God says is wrong. And Isaiah is clear. You sin. You living in sin, whether it be secret or open sin, he says, God hides his face and he will not hear you. When God, what God calls sin needs to be called sin by us. But when we don't, we hinder our prayers. We say, okay, we want God to answer prayer on top of our sin, but that don't work. God's not going to answer our prayer on top of our sin. It's plain. He hides his face that separates between us and God when we have sin. You say, well, it used to be or like that, but we've progressed now, and it's, we know there's nothing wrong with it. If God says it's sin, it's sin. It doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. Doesn't matter what some jackleg preacher says. It's what the Bible says. It's wrong. It's sin. And then some people have idols. In Ezekiel, it says, son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Did you hear what he said? These people had idols. Now, an idol is something, when you think about idols, you think of some statue or something like that that people bow down to, like Dagon in the Bible and Ashtoreth and some of these others like that, or Diana in the book of Acts. Well, he says, these men have set up idols in their heart. In other words, you cannot see the idol that they have. It's set up in their heart. They're worshiping this something. Now, what is an idol? An idol is anything that replaces God or our affection or our service toward God. In other words, something that we put before God is an idol, whether it's something, some statue standing out there someplace, or something that's in our heart. See, anything that is the supreme object of our life, it might be our spouse. You know, some people, they worship their spouse. They put their spouse ahead of God. Some people put children ahead of God. Oh, yes, how can we put children ahead of God? They put children ahead of God. They put their business ahead of God. Oh, God gave me this business, and I have to keep it going, and so we have to go along with the world and all these things here in the business, and they worship the business. They set the business ahead of God. Some will put their reputation ahead of God. Oh, my reputation. You know, I can't be seen putting Christmas decorations up, a nativity scene or something like that. Why, people won't come to my business. Well, they'll think that I'm one of these radical people. See, we put our reputation as an idol. God says they set up an idol in their heart. It's someplace where no one else can see, but God sees. He looks on the heart of man. He sees whether he's first place in a person's life or not. God knows if we've set up an idol in our heart. And if we have set up an idol in his heart, look what he says there. He said, should I be inquired at all by them? In other words, should they come and ask me something? They got the idol in their heart. Should they come and ask me something? Some people have idols in their heart. Not that you can see, not idols, some statue or something in the corner of their house or something. That idol might be sitting out their driveway too, that car. Now, well, God wants to take care of our cars, you see, but we're good stewards. But you see, when we put the car and in the house and other things before God, then it becomes an idol. In Proverbs 21:13, it says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. In other words, some people are just plain stingy. Do you know anybody that's stingy? We used to have a joke with people. When they'd reach for their wallet, it said you could hear the stinginess of their elbow and all because they don't reach for their wallet very much. They're stingy. Here are some verses to think about regarding this sin here that hinders to prayer. Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you mete, withal shall be measured to you again. The word of God says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, running together, shaking together, running over. See, some people, they just have no milk of human kindness in their bodies. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that they will try and scam people and so on like it. We talked about that before. But there are times whenever God puts people on our pathway or something that they may need a little help, and we're to help them. Listen also to what it says. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. He says unto all men, but especially the household of faith. There are some people that are so stingy. Now, the old saying was, they have the first dollar they ever made. Well, some people maybe, I've heard of people framing the first dollar they made, they went into business, and nothing wrong with that. But also know, there are many people that they knew God blessed them, and they used that to bless other people as well. And then in Mark 11:25, it says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. An unforgiving spirit will hinder your prayer. It's a common hindrance, I think, to prayer today. Many will nurse a grudge. Oh, they have a grudge against someone, and they're not going to talk to them. They're not going to deal with them. They're not going to join together. I know families. There are families and people. They have a grudge against someone in the family. They're not about to go and join together with them in some kind of celebration, whether it be Christmas, a birthday, or whatever. Oh, they got a grudge. They said something to me years ago, and I'm mad at it. I'm still, I don't like it. I'm not going, and yada, 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 they go down the road. And then they expect their prayer to be answered. Said Jesus said, forgive if anyone has anything against you, so that your Father can forgive you. If you're not going to forgive others, don't expect God to forgive you, and you need to have forgiveness in order to have your prayer answered. See, some people nurse that grudge. Oh, it just goes on. And they just let it go, and they're not going to, you know, oh, I remember. No, I'm not going to shake hands with them. I'm not going to sit next to them in church, and all these things here they do. Now, I know there are those out there, there have been some difficulties, and you try and make it right with them, and they will not forgive, they will not make it right. They're the ones going to have their prayer hindered. And they try to teach or preach over top of it and try to witness over top of it. But God knows. And he says, you need to forgive. And then how about a wrong relationship with our spouse? Peter says this, husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, sometimes there are some problems in the marriage, and they don't try to do something to work it out, or they don't forgive them. Oh, there's things that happen in the marriage, and we cannot stop it. We cannot. There are idiosyncrasies and different things about one another that we just need to forgive, and we need to go on. And James says, if we don't, he said, don't be bitter against them. He said, that your prayers be not hindered. If we're trying to live outward life, everything's fine, but at home, something is wrong, there's a difficulty, a wrong relationship that's going on there. He says that your prayers be not hindered. How are we toward our spouse? Husbands, are you domineering? Wife, are you peevish? Are you irreverent to your husband? Are you not thinking of the weakness of the wife? Husband, how is it? How's your relationship? Peter says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, that your prayer be not hindered. And I have to go on here. How about if we refuse to hear the word of God? James says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he gives liberally to all people and doesn't upbraid, but letting ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Zechariah says they refused to hearken and pull away the shoulder and stop their ears that they should not hear. Yea, and they made their hearts as adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent his Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. You know, if we're not listening to what God's word does say, well, I don't think that's for me today. I don't think. He says, you'll cry, and he won't hear you. So what about you today? Are your prayers hindered? Has God touched upon something in your life that's causing your prayers to be hindered? Father, I ask that you would awaken people out there everywhere. Awaken the unsaved to realize that they are lost and they're doomed to hell unless they come to you and get saved, have their sins forgiven. I pray you speak to Christians out there everywhere. Those that are not where they should be, there are things in their life that's hindering their prayer. Show it to them that they can get things straightened out. I pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. We'll be right back.